generations, this peaceful island has been home to our family. But beyond our reef, a great danger is coming. Legend tells of a hero who will journey to find the demigod Maui. And together, they will save us all.
Hero of men.
What?
It's actually Maui, shapeshifter, demigod of the wind and sea, hero of men. I interrupted from the top. Hero of men. Go. I'm not going on a mission with some little girl.
This is my canoe, and you will journey to different...
Did not see that coming.
The ocean is a friend of mine.
Just throw in the towel, other animated studios. Throw it in again. You thought you was on a roll with all your little films in the summer after Finding Dory. You know, you had your Secret Life of Pets. You had your Trolls. You had your The Wildlife and whatever the hell else came out. But you might as well just throw in the towel now because Disney's back with Moana. And right off the bat, it is worth every bit of hype that it's getting. Love this damn movie, people. Let me give a plot synopsis. And I'm gonna fuck this girl's name all up. It ain't never gonna be right. But then again, when do I ever get a name right? This girl who was born in Hawaii, Alu'i Kravalaho. Oh, I'm gonna fuck that all up. She's about 16 years old, I believe, in real life. I think she's 16 in the movie, to be honest, too. Or 16 or 17. And we started to see her origin story pretty much as a child and infant, and how the water chose her to be the one to kind of save the land, if you will. And we open up with this cool action sequence of, as far as, you know, her grandmother, voiced by Rachel House. She plays Grandma Tala, and she tells a story of how Maui, the demigod, voiced by Dwayne Johnson, you know, he was a hero, savior of the world, until he stole the heart of the, I forgot what it was already called. I want to say the heart of the ocean, but I don't think it was called. And it was attached to his island. And then next you know it, this big lava creature came, and he had a battle with him, and no one's seen Maui since then. And they're believing, well, at least she believes, that the reason why some of the islands have been destroyed and past the reef that they live on is because of the curse that stone that Maui stolen has stuck upon the islands, the surrounding islands. So, you know, Moana here, she's an adventurer. She wants to leave and go out and see the world. But unfortunately, her father, who's Chief Tui, I'm fucking all these names up. Whatever. He's played by Tamara Morrison or voiced by. And he pretty much tells his whole village, nobody is allowed to leave the reef because we're safe here. And if you go outside that reef, you will most likely die. And the reason why he's like this is because when he was young, he tried to do that once. And he ended up losing his best friend. And he's preparing his daughter to pretty much be the next chief. And how she'll have to look after the people and be their new chief and stuff like that. Until one day all their crops and stuff like that start to die. Coconuts start dying out. And she finds out, Moana as that, she finds out about her ancestors and how they were explorers and travelers. And once her grandmother passes away, her grandmother gives her words of wisdom of saying, save the island and go out there and be the person you're supposed to be. So she decides to do it. She takes one of the boats that were hidden away from her ancestors, and she sails out to the sea to find Maui, who was right under the hook, and therefore retrieve the stone. Well, they already have the stone, but have Maui travel across the seas with him to return the stone to its rightful place. And also, in the meantime, too, as well, become an explorer in her own rights. Yeah, so there's your plot synopsis here. I gotta say, I absolutely love this movie. I mean, you know, Disney. I gotta say this about this studio, and this is why I'm a Disney bitch, and why I'm so in love with their studio, is because, you know, back in the day when people used to talk about, or at least still down today, when you talk about Spielberg, now he was the golden child of the blockbuster era and stuff like that. Disney, no matter what time of the year it is, they can still release an exciting film. You know, even to go back on the last Star Wars film, which I had the problem, and many others too as well, saying it just pretty much copied episode 4. So that'd be my only problem with it. But goddamn, is it not exciting? They just know how to put a movie on screen and just make it for all ages. Kid, adult, teenager, whatever. You're going to walk out having a good time. I just don't see how you could not like this film, actually. And that's the thing about Disney. They make films where you walk out and say, how could you not like this? It was such a feel-good moment. It had a lot of interesting things here, whatever. It's got that formula of, you know, the hero becoming, not so much the hero, but the protagonist becoming this, you know, larger-than-life character in a way. But what I like about this film, though, is it really is just a badass adventure film. And that's what it really gets down to when you get the Disney films. They're all kind of adventure films in their way, following characters. And I gotta say, the voice of this girl that played Moana, first time discovery here, kind of like Disney's been doing with a lot of their films as of lately, getting first time people here. But I love the fact that this girl is just incredibly talented. I mean, when she started singing, I was looking at that and was like, wait a minute, that sounds like her voice. And then I looked it up myself and it's like, oh my God, that is her singing. This girl not only portrays her character really well, but her line delivery is just spot on perfect. You wouldn't believe that this is her first time going. And one of the best things about it, too, is she's going up against a veteran. And yes, you can say he's a veteran at this point, with Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. And she's going beat for beat with him. She's able to hang with him. You know, in most situations like this, the kid actor, or any other inexperienced actor for that matter, would not be able to go toe-to-toe with the veteran here. There's very few, many movies that we've seen that before. And in here, not only does she hold her own, but she really goes at Dwayne Johnson. What can you say about it? I think he was just born to play this character because his energy and electricity and his just charisma, it just screams through this character. Like, right off the bat, when he's on the scene, it's hilarious as shit. There's some great action sequences in this film. Two that come to mind, specifically. The music, the action scene, especially with the Kakamoras, the little pirates, the coconut pirates, that action sequence just had me on the edge of my seat. It was fun as hell. It shot really well. Moana, and what I love about her too is she's able to hold her own. She's not completely useless. So she's not a child actress or a kid in the film where she's just there, to be the protagonist, to see through all the action through the eyes. No, she's actually a go-getter. She's willing to get involved with it. And when they take the stone from her, she jumps right on board and handles herself really well. I love what this movie also does is that even though you'll see some familiar Disney premises here, and just familiar premises in general of other films, and you know, even Disney in here, it's aware of that, and it makes fun of that. And not only that, it takes shot at its own films and stuff like that, because there's a point where Dwayne Johnson say, okay, princess, I don't think I'm going anywhere with you. And she's just like, I am not a princess. I am a chief. You need to get that correct. And I was like, ooh, I like that. Because I fucking hate that Disney princess term, by the way. But your favorite Disney princess is Mulan. Mulan is not a fucking princess, okay? She was not the daughter of a fucking king or anything like that. But it falls under that, shut the fuck up, please. There's very few fucking princesses in the Disney animated world here. And Mulan is not fucking one of them. Jasmine, yes. Beauty and the Beast, no. She's not a fucking princess, okay? Well, I forgot, was the Beast a prince? I guess so. If he turned back into what he was before, then I guess if he marries her, blah, 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 then there you go, et cetera, et cetera. So I digress, but we're missing the point here. The voice acting is great in here. You have Alan Tudyk, which I didn't even know they had a fucking voice for this thing, because all it does is make chicken noises. He plays Hi-Hi, and it's a chicken. Now, I remember when I saw the trailer, I was looking at that chicken when it did the screaming and stuff. I was like, I'm going to hate that chicken. That chicken had some of the funniest bits in this whole movie. I really think this chicken was trying to commit suicide in the film. because this chicken is just beyond stupid. And I think that the chicken knew that it was that stupid, and it's probably saying throughout the whole film, please, for the love of God, just let me murder myself. I just want to die. I know how retarded I am. I don't want to be on this world anymore. This chicken, I love it because the first funny moment of it is there's this old villager who's like cooking on some rocks and stuff like that. And this chicken's beating on this rock. He's just beating his head against this rock. And then this villager says, that chicken don't really have a lot of brains, does it? And, you know, I think it would be best served on this dish right here. You know, so we can just eat this thing and put it together. And then she was like, no, we can't eat this chicken. It's a friend. And the dude was like, I don't think that chicken's going to last long anyway. And then it starts swallowing this giant-ass rock, and I was just like, That chicken had a lot of funny moments. There's another funny moment where Maui and Moana first meet, and Maui tries to, you know, trick Moana and take her boat, and he takes the chicken. He's just like, ooh, you'll make a great dinner. And then he takes the chicken, and then while they're on the boat, he feeds them a bunch of seeds and say, now eat up now. We need to get you big so you can get up in my stomach now. And the chicken is so goddamn stupid, they don't even notice food. It looks at the floor of the damn boat and just starts beating his head against the floor and shit. And even Dwayne had to look at it and said, I don't know if I want to eat this now. This chicken was beyond. And it was multiple times where he just kept jumping off the boat head first into the water. I was like, yeah, I think this chicken's trying to kill itself, but I digress. But Alan Tudyk, some people might say that they use the chicken a little bit too much because it's almost familiar jokes, as repetitive jokes of itself. I thought it was just fine. I thought this movie was incredible. Every scene was there. My only problem with the movie is I feel the movie was too short, and it goes by so quickly that I wanted to spend so much more time with it because I was just enjoying myself watching it at this early screen, and I was so excited to see it, and I want to thank Disney for the invite. But I had such a great time watching it that I was like, oh man, it's about to end. I already know what's coming. This is the third act and it's going to end here. And even what they do with the characters, who even though they're all fun and exuberant and stuff like that, they have some great animated scenes in here. I'm talking spectacular. Like, I'm looking at things like Zootopia or Inside Out, which look really damn good, by the way. But there is something about this film where just the sequences of the water. There's a part where her grandmother says, you know, I got this tattoo on my back of a praying mantis. Not a praying mantis. A fucking, God, I think it is a man. I can't remember what these animals in the ocean are called, whatever. And she says, when I die, that's what I'll become. I'll come back as that animal. And there's multiple times you see her in the water, comes back as a spirit, and it's light up blue. It looks gorgeous. Like, this water, even the water looks incredible, but the design texture of the characters all look great, and they're all curvy looking and stuff like that. And the mother, she's got a fat ass on her and stuff, so you just want to spank it real quick and go like, ooh, ooh, it jiggles, ooh. And I thought I was the only one in the theater looking. I was like, anybody else know? Oh, just me. Once again, getting turned on by cartoon characters. All right, whatever. And they do great things with the hair. I mean, the hair looks so realistic. It's throwing me on the screen. I'm just looking. I'm like, God damn, it looks like this is a combination of live action and animation mixed into one. This looks damn good. And this is what you can do with animation when you just got money like Disney have. It looks fantastic. There's some scenes even in here too. Like I said, even though these characters are alive and super in here, where things get really emotional. There's a scene where, you know, we pretty much get a backstory on Maui. And, you know, he always talks about how he loves the crowd cheering for him and stuff like that. And there's a scene here where he goes toe-to-toe with the lava monster when they first come to battle with him. And even though he tells Moana, you need to turn around, we're not going to make it. And she's like, no, we can. And he takes his hook. And as this lava monster is coming with a fist of fury right now here, you know, he's coming with a fist of fireball. He takes that hook and swings it at. And he sees this big purple light and the waves push back. This scene looked gorgeous, by the way. Like, I would love this on my fucking iMac right here to cover up as a screensaver, because this scene just looks absolutely beautiful. And Moana's trying to tell him, because this thing is cracked now, it's hooked, and she's trying to tell him, you don't need that to be Maui, you know, you're Maui. And he's like, you don't get it, this is what makes me. And he tells a story about how you know, he wasn't born by a godparents, he had mortal parents. And because she had a tattoo on him where someone was holding a baby over the river, and he was telling the story of how his parents got rid of him because they didn't want him, and they just threw him in the ocean, and he was found there by the gods, and they gave him the power. So he went around, you know, using these powers to help people for their admiration, because he never had his parents' love, so he figured he could win the love of everyone else by doing cheap tricks and stuff like that for them. And I ain't gonna lie, you know, it's that usual, because Disney, they love to always string at your heartstrings here with, it's funny because there's a short before this that talks all about heartstrings, and they like to tug those heartstrings and teach you about the family morals and goals and stuff like that, and the death of family members. I gotta say, that scene right there was really heartbroken. I was like, damn, dude. It was just the way Dwayne Johnson delivered it and everything. Everything about the scene was just beautiful. And he was pretty much saying, you know, without this hook and these godlike powers, I'm nothing. Nobody needs me. Nobody wants me. You know, he ends up leaving, only to come back because, you know, Moana, you know, she kind of gives up on herself. But then she gets the motivation of her ancestors when she sees their presence there. And damn near the water is damn near its own character itself, just alone with Dwayne Johnson's tattoos as well, too. They tell a whole story in its way where it's not as a gimmick or anything like that, but they actually fit into the story of helping provide, tell the rest of the story. It's actually fucking incredible how it does it, too. It's very, I don't want to say simplistic, but like compared to Zootopia, it doesn't have layers like Zootopia, where Zootopia covers so many social satire and commentary of, you know, the actual real world. Near, this is a simple, straight fly-by film with a lot of heart, with a lot of feelings, with the feels, if the people like to call it. A lot of good action sequences, great acting like always, and just some beautiful ass animation here. And I think anyone watching this will have a great time seeing this. The fight scene, even at the end with the lava monster itself, looked gorgeous, and even how the scene shot when the lava monster was coming towards Moana when she separated the water like Moses and shit. That was another shot. I was like, I gotta get that on my laptop now. That screen's there. That shot looks gorgeous. They had it in slow motion and the beautiful music playing, which, by the way, mostly all the music in here is Hawaiian made. They even have playing her mother as Nicole. I don't know how to pronounce this girl's last name. But the lead singer from the Pussycat Dolls here. And I know people playing saying, what the fuck is she doing as the mother? I thought this movie was supposed, they got another white girl to play her. And now, back off, people. She was actually born in Honolulu, Hawaii, whatever. She's half of that stuff. So don't give me that. I love how people are always quick to jump on that shit when it comes to Disney about, oh, his Star Wars characters, they ain't got no diversity in here, whatever stuff. And then they make a movie like this, where damn near the whole, every fucking lead cast in here has got some mix of Hawaiian, Samoan blood in them. And nobody praises that shit at all. Nobody compliments that shit at all. Just like, oh, great for Disney doing that. Now, granted, I ain't gonna do it because I really don't give a fuck about that type of shit. I don't go to movies looking for political correctness and shit like that or everything. I'm just going to be entertained. I think a lot of people forgot how to be entertained in films. But here, I noticed that they actually do it and they get people of the area of the age, the race that they should be, and nobody gives them a compliment at all about it. And it's like, man, if we just stuck all white people in this bitch or whatever, people would have been complaining about it. But you know what? I digress, whatever and stuff. Either way, though, the message at the end of the film, too, is beautiful as well. I love what they do, even with the creature itself and how it transformed into the actual island of what it was. Everything was just beautiful. And get on back to here, too, even the music in here. The music is just fucking fantastic. I don't think it's going to hit as hard as Frozen's Let It Go. There's just something about that song that it was just so catchy and beautiful. And without a shadow of a doubt, it was definitely the best song in that movie. Like, you couldn't question that at all. But in here, I think it's so many different songs in here that are really good. And, you know, they all have the Hawaiian flavor to it. I don't think it's going to catch as quickly as something as an R&B song such as Let It Go, Let It Go, Everywhere. But in here, when you first meet Dwayne Johnson's character, Maui, he has a song called You're Welcome. Cody would love this, as I loved it, because, you know, we're some arrogant pricks. Well, he's an arrogant douche. I'm an arrogant asshole. And there's a difference, people. And this song, You're Welcome, it was just pretty much bragging about how much Maui has just been so great to the world of just because of his existence and stuff. And it was fun and it was cool. And I fucking love that song. And by the way, it was Dwayne Johnson actually singing it too. I had to look this up and I was like, I can't believe this motherfucker knew how to sing. Like, I already knew he knew how to sing because, you know, I used to watch a lot of WWF back in the day. And he used to do his little guitar concerts and stuff like that. Motherfucking play guitar too, people. He's a talented motherfucker. And I realized that, though, watching this whole movie, I kind of fucking hate him because I'm jealous. I mean, what can't this dude do? He can wrestle. He played football back in the day, so he's an athlete. He can sing. Plays instruments. He can act. He's entertaining. He's fucking the sexiest man alive of the year, some shit like that or whatever. He's got big ass muscles and shit. Everybody wants to fuck him and everybody wants to be him. He's got a gorgeous family. He can eat 20 goddamn pizzas in one day and not even get full and shit. This man is a god. And I fucking despise him for that. I fucking despise. I'm jealous like a motherfucker. I'm hate. Now excuse me as I go put some water in his goddamn dish right now. But either way though, he is just a talent powerhouse, and I can't wait to see Dwayne Johnson in more roles like this that really fit his persona and how he is in real life. He just exuberates energy. I mean, so. And to back on the music here now, the music. There's a couple of songs there. You're Welcome was one of them. I love that song. But there's obviously another one that's in the trailer or whatever. You know, damn it. I blanked on the dude's name again. Like, I keep blanking on his fucking name throughout this whole movie. But Lin-Manuel Miranda finally got it right. Yeah, there we go. But he does most of the music in this film. And my favorite one is in the trailer, too, for a brief second. I mean, and it's called We Know the Way. This is probably... other than Kubo, man, I gotta say, the animated films this year, as far as the Disney ones go, and Kubo, I don't really give a fuck about the other one. Man, Secret Life Pets was cool, too. The music in here is just fantastic. And these are the most soundtracks I've downloaded this year, as far as buying off iTunes or anything like that. And I had to buy this one as soon as I saw the movie, and as soon as it was available to buy, I was just like... without a shadow of a doubt getting this. And I was like, because, you know, obviously I've seen this in weeks in advance. By the time this comes out the end of this weekend, I feel sorry for Fantastic Beasts. But let me go ahead and play this clip right here. We Know the Way, and by Lin-Manuel Miranda. This was my favorite song throughout the whole film. I love that damn song. Like, I've had that on repeat like a mofo. I mean, I can't even get to You're Welcome and anything else because this one is just constantly on repeat for me. But either way, even what's the girl's name? Alicia Cara, I believe her name is. She does How Far I'll Go, probably the most poppiest song out of the whole damn film. She even does a great job with that song. I even like that song a lot. Enough though, man. I gotta say, I had just had a fun time with this movie. Although I think Zootopia is just a better film, man, it was just something about this film that just captivated me more. That where I was just like, oh my god, I want to see this again. Not that I didn't say that was Zootopia, because I was like, I gotta own this. This film was just brilliant and smart. But there's something about this film that's just like, I want everyone to go see it just because it's how fun it is, and it's probably the most fun I've had in theater this. One of the whole year. And I wish it did have those elements of Zootopia, because it would clearly make my top 10, even my top 5, damn near. That's how much fun I had with this film. I mean, I haven't had this fun since, you know, like Kubo and the Two Strings, even though that movie's far from fucking fun. I can tell you that. That movie's depressing in a way, actually. But I haven't had this much fun since Civil War. And I'm talking, yeah, Civil War, Marvel Superhero Civil War. And so this is how fun this movie is. It has those feels for it. Probably not as great as Civil War, just because, you know, we've had 13 movies beforehand to captivate us into getting to this. But nonetheless, this movie for me is a high seed. I damn near think it's a perfect film. Obviously, it has those familiarities that other previous Disney and some other films have. But for me, I don't give a damn about none of that. I mean, if you really think of every film is a ripoff of some other film, you can't. It's very rare you can do something new that's a blockbuster here without copying some film that's already been done before. And even though this one does it with Disney tropes, it takes the credit of making fun of the Disney trope. So with that, I'm definitely going to give this a high C. This is easily probably going to be mentioned or something by the time it gets to the end of the year, because I absolutely love this film and I think everyone should go see this film. And when you go see this film, because I know you will, because who doesn't want to see Dwayne The Rock Johnson perform as Maui? Who doesn't want to see a Disney animated film again? No, everybody does. So therefore, I know you'll go see it. And when you do, leave your comments and thoughts in this review of the comment section below. And then let me know your thoughts so I can get back to it.
First, we've got to go through a whole ocean of bad. Kakamora.
Kaka what? They're kind of cute. We're going to the realm of monsters.
Don't worry, it's a lot farther down than it looks.